Blog Talk Radio.
I said, friend, let me get that for you, as he rolled his wheelchair toward the door of the restaurant I was going in. I helped the old fella through the door. I could see that his hat said he served in World War II. I shook his hand and said, friend, let me buy dinner for you. He said, son, I wish everyone felt like you do. I watched a tear roll from his eyes. He said, grace. And as he sat there and he talked to God, my heart was in my throat. As I heard him ask, we'd all find a better way. And he said, if we keep on going the way we're going, we're headed for hell on a fast train, not knowing how we got there or how we're gonna come back. They've taken the U right out of the USA and broke the right arm off of the Statue of Liberty, put out the torch that lights our way. Then they say that it's all politically correct. Help us stand up now, God, or there won't be no America left. He said, son, for God and country, I lost my legs on Omaha Beach. But that's nothing compared to what thousands lost if we continue to be free. Once again he said, well, if we keep on going the way we're going, we're headed for hell on a fast train, not knowing how we got there or how we're gonna come back. They're stomping and burning our stars and stripes, not giving a damn for the sacrifice of life that protects that very right. Yet they say it's just the way that they protest. Help us stand up now, God, or there won't be no America left. America lives. America.
Welcome to the Disrespected Trucker Radio Show. I am your host, Jeremy Johnson. I'm here with my co-host, Chris Bikerson. Chris, I lost my switchboard. I told you my iPad that I run my switchboard off of, that was going down. It went down. I'm also losing my phone, ladies and gentlemen. So I guarantee you, I promise you, that I will not be able to finish the show tonight, unfortunately. Chris will finish the show, and you're in very capable hands, let me assure you. Let me explain why all this is going down. I've been live streaming all day from the People's Convoy live on my YouTube channel, The Disrespected Trucker. Go ahead and go subscribe to that channel. You will see a lot more videos, a lot more live feeds on The Disrespected Trucker on YouTube. So subscribe to that channel. Get over there and join that channel. But before we get going on that, boy, I'm doing a lot of on tonight because I lost my switchboard and I feel naked. But, Chris, how the hell are you doing, brother?
Well, I tell you what, I'm
little bit wore out from having to go out there and ask for donations for fuel. It's just about to that point, I think. I might as well just be driving down the road, just tossing money out the window, you know, as I go. $750 to fuel up today. You know, if you can believe that, $750, you know, and I'll be doing that again in you know, 2 days. So,
yeah,
man, we're all feeling it out here.
I don't know what it's going to take for people to get it. And I fact checked it, and they said that the president has nothing to do with fuel prices. Get the fuck out of here. Seriously.
Like, his energy policy does.
Yeah. Yes. Exactly. This is about every one of his policies. And people are like, well, but he doesn't control the prices. Well, no shit, you dumb fuck. Because he's not the head of the gas station or the oil companies. But guess what? The oil companies are just loving this shit. Man. You wait and watch. Now their records are going to go right through the roof again. Next quarter, they're going to report record profits. Because of Joe Biden's energy policies. You know, he cancels the Keystone policy or the Keystone pipeline. Meanwhile, we're importing how many barrels of oil from Russia? Last year alone, how many was it? I seen a number and I'm like, I just shook my head. I was so pissed off when I seen a number that I had to like, okay, I just can't look at it because I'm gonna have a fucking coronary if I look at this. This administration need to be removed from office, ladies and gentlemen. Like, they need to be gone. I don't care if you're a Democrat. If you want to vote Democrat, that's fine. But this guy, this administration, and I don't give a shit if they were Republican or Democrat, I'd be saying the same thing. This administration is out of control. Literally out of control. So, but anyway. I'm a truck driver, too. Me and Chris are both truck drivers. Last year, I was spending $800 a week on fuel before Joe Biden took office. This year, $2,100 to $2,500. Well, that can't be. Well, it is. Yeah. Fuck. Oh, I get so irritated even talking about it, Chris. Whose ass do we kick now?
I'm not sure.
Don't know either. At this point, I'm just like, whoa, what? People just don't get it. And they probably never will. Because it doesn't affect them, so it doesn't happen, right? It's not happening because it doesn't affect me. Or it's the same like with the People's Convoy. You know, I talked to my mom briefly tonight, and she said, I watched the news channel, and they showed three trucks, and they said, People's Convoy, a massive fail, nobody's joining, blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, what a bunch of liars. You know why I tell them to say that they're liars? Because I finally caught up with the People's Convoy just outside of, about the Indiana-Ohio line is where I caught up with them. And it was just a ways past the Indiana-Ohio line. I got to the tail end of it, okay? I spent from that point, I would say probably exit 15 maybe into Ohio, maybe even exit 20 into Ohio. All the way from there, I got in the left lane and I started passing vehicles. Sometimes I was doing 70, 75 right around the speed limit, 70. So I never try to go over 5 miles an hour over the speed limit. I've done that for 8 straight years and I've never gotten a speeding ticket. So anyway, I was doing 70, 75, trying to catch up with the convoy, okay? And we got to Dayton, Ohio. And I'm thinking, okay, well, God, I should be close. I even said it on one of my live streams on YouTube. I said, I know I'm getting close. And then I had my iPad sitting next to me on my console with my Google Maps to where our destination was today, just so I could see where the orange was, so I could kind of gauge where the front of that convoy was. Every time I just glanced down at that, the front of the convoy was another 30 or 40 or 50 or 70 miles ahead of me. I'm like, well, it can't be that long, can it? I literally spent 3.5 hours basically in the left lane. I'd get over every once in a while when there's a break just to let people pass me that wanted to go faster than me. But for the main part, I was in that left lane for 3.5 straight hours doing at least 70, 75, trying to, unless the traffic was slowing me up. And then I did what the traffic did. But 3.5 hours. And I'm going to tell you something. You know when I caught up to almost the lead truck? My friend Lee and Lisa Schmidt, they were about, I don't know, 2 or 3 miles behind the lead truck. I finally caught up to them 5 miles before they exited for the day. When I tell you people that this is the biggest thing that this country has ever seen, I am not exaggerating. I don't know how many cars and trucks are involved in this, but it's thousands and thousands and thousands. I'm going to describe to you what I seen on overpasses. every overpass, there was somebody there. Every overpass. As a matter of fact, as I was going through Dayton, Ohio, or was it Columbus? Whatever, actually it was Columbus. As I was going through Columbus, there was a cross. I seen it from a ways back on an overpass, and it had it was like dressed up as like the American flag, but as a cross. And as I got closer, I like squinted my eyes because I had to like look at it again. I'm like, no, that can't be. It just can't be. I looked closer. There was a nun on each side of that American cross holding that cross. A nun. And I'm like, that smacked me right in my forehead, because now I know this is real. I mean, this is way bigger than what I ever thought this convoy would ever be. I mean, we all watched the convoy coming to Canada and how humongous that was and how peaceful it was. This is the same thing, ladies and gentlemen, but this is twice as big and maybe even bigger than that. And not to downplay what Canada did, because what Canada did was huge. This is people from all walks of life. I'm going to start crying, honestly, because what I've seen today touched me. It touched me deeply. This is nuns standing on an overpass, ladies and gentlemen. As the further on I went, as we got out of Columbus and started heading down the interstate, I noticed that each overpass got bigger and bigger and bigger as far as the amount of people. It got to the point where I started looking off to my left and my right, and there were people and businesses. Their whole parking lot was full of people. Every exit and entrance ramp onto the interstate, it was lined with people, police, military, standing there holding their hand to their heart. There were women, there were children, there were men, there were whites, there were blacks, there was everything that you could imagine as American people. United States of America. Those people were out there today. Everything that you could imagine. We went by a rest area. The rest area was bumper-to-bumper vehicles, and they were all standing up along the interstate with their flags. And some of them had anti-Biden signs. Some of them had Trump signs. And you know what? Honestly, to me, this isn't about if you're a Democrat or you're a Republican. This matters to me if you're an American. It matters to me that you're standing up. And if you can't afford to go all the way to where their destination is, then you get out and do what these fine patriots did. Get your American flags out. Bring your family out. Video it. Share it on your social media. Share it all over. And prove once and for all that the media is lying to all of you. They have been for a very long time, and now we can prove it, because they're telling people that this convoy didn't garner any support. Ladies and gentlemen, from the time they left California to where we're at now in Ohio, every Not one here and there. Every single overpass has people on it. Some, man, a few, but most of them are packed, especially after 3 o'clock. I noticed that too. Like during the day of work day, like people, that's how bad, like Joe Biden always, he's our economy is the greatest it's ever been. Yeah, people can't even afford to take a few hours off to come and watch an American convoy coming through their town because your economy is so fucking great, you lying sack of shit. That's the truth. The economy isn't great. And you Democrats that still support this fool, which I know they don't listen to this show because I'd give them a coronary with my views and facts that we spew because they hate facts. They like their feelings. That's what they like. And I'm tired of their fucking feelings, honestly. If your economy is so great, people should be able to afford to take 2, 3, 4, 5 hours off of work to come and support something by waving their American flag or waving at the people that are in the convoy. That's a fact, President Joe Biden. You sack of shit. And Kamala Harris, you laughing hyena, you're a sack of shit too. And Nancy Pelosi, Chuck Schumer, Mitch McConnell, Republican Party, Mitch McConnell, Lindsey Graham, all you establishment pieces of shit. We know who you are now. You showed your true colors throughout all of this. You showed your true colors. Now the American people know this isn't a Republican or a Democrat thing anymore. This is an establishment versus a patriot, American, freedom-loving, Constitution-loving Americans now. You establishment, we know who you are. We know who's in your back pocketbook. You guys just continue to sell out day after day after day after day after day after day. You're greedy pieces of shit. And I'd love to see your phone records, to see how many times you talked to Klaus Schwab over at the World Economic Forum, because I guarantee you half you motherfuckers are in his back pocket too. You're fucking sick. Sick people, and what you're doing to the American people has our forefathers rolling in their graves. Hell, I bet they've found a way to dig through the earth and create it and find a way to build a gun store and find a way to start communicating with the living and say, this is why we wrote the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. Because of you sons of bitches that are taking advantage of the American people, and not only the American people, but people worldwide, with your fucking rhetoric and your propaganda fed to you by the very people that are filling your back pockets, that are killing American people and killing people worldwide, all for money. You greedy son of a bitches. How the fuck do you sleep at night? That's what I want to know. And I know, I'm sorry, people. I've thrown the F-bomb out there many a times tonight, but I can't help it. I am so irritated at this government. I am so mad at this government on what they've done to the American people. And not only the American people, people in general. It's not okay. And that's why you see such a large support in this people's convoy. There's people, like I said, the media, they're not gaining any support. They're full of shit. They're full of shit. They're lying to you. I have never seen anything like this, even in a movie, ladies and gentlemen. I've watched the movie Convoy. Oh, yeah, that's cool. A bunch of trucks, and they're outlaws. No, this isn't how this works. Everybody I've seen, everybody, and everybody I've talked to, they are the nicest, most polite people that you'll ever, ever meet. I just was, I could come out of my hotel room. I'm about 6 miles away or 4 miles away from where the convoy is actually staged for the night. I stopped here, got a hotel here so I could do the radio show well. We'll see how long that lasts. I'm down to, let me look here quick. I might cut off here in a minute. Well, hey, I gained a percentage, so I don't know. I close out all my apps, and I'm just using my phone, so maybe that'll help. But I do see my iPad is screwed. You're going to have to run a switchboard, Chris. But I'm only a few miles away from those guys. My fucking phone, dude. Okay, sorry about the distraction. But everything that I've seen is just seriously, it's the most amazing thing I've seen. Don't let anybody, the media, anybody tell you that this is a failure or they didn't get enough support or... Okay, so when they went by where I'm staying, I followed them all the way to the exit that they were getting off because I wanted to see it with my own two eyes. Because if I'm reporting on something and I'm telling you how it is, I've got to see it, though, right? They got to the exit. I was a few miles back when they first hit that exit. That exit ramp, by the way, was completely packed full of people and police directing traffic. And I mean, when I say packed, it was shoulder to shoulder, face to face. I mean, it was packed. Oh, and what a liberal would call a super spreader event. Fucking idiots that listen to the news yet that think that the news is telling you the truth. Good God, when you guys gonna wake up? Anyway, I got out in the left lane and I started hammering past them. I went right past them all. They'd already been parking people for a couple minutes by the time I got up to the exit. I went down 5 miles and turned around at the next exit, or 6 miles. And as I came back, the traffic was backed up 12 miles back from that. 12 miles, ladies and gentlemen. Why isn't the media showing you? They have technical abilities to get a drone out here and look. They can look at Google Maps, and you can literally see during the day where the convoy is at because eastbound is orange, and it's miles long. And then you'll see a little bit of a blue, and then you'll see orange again. That's a part of the convoy, too, that just fell back from the main convoy. And then you'll see a little bit of a blue and then orange again. That happens for like 200 miles. Ladies and gentlemen, you're being lied to by your media. I can prove it today. I can prove it today by what I've seen with my own two eyes. I can prove it to you. I have the video to prove it to you. They're lying to you. This convoy is the biggest thing that America's ever seen, in my opinion. You'd have to remind me of something that is bigger than this, that it has happened across this country like this. People united. You know, you get on a live video on TikTok or wherever, and the left, the people that don't get it, that are still listening to their news, that still believe that there isn't a treatment for this virus, that still believe that you know, you got to get vaccinated to save your life, and if you don't, you're selfish. You're not helping your neighbor. Those people, they're on there just cutting this fucking thing down like you would never. Oh, you guys are terrorists. Why don't you go get a job? Meanwhile, when the BLM riots went on for a complete year, almost 260-some days, where they were burning fucking buildings down, where they were killing people in the name of racial injustice. They didn't say it. They cheered them on. They were getting bailed. The violent criminals were getting bailed out of jail by the Democratic Party. That's the truth out of Minnesota. They had a fund set up, and Kamala Harris deleted the tweet now, but she tweeted it out to support that fund. They were bailing people out of fucking jail, ladies and gentlemen, bailing them out of jail that committed violent crimes during those riots. Now, you want to go march for racial injustice? I'll cheer you on. I was a huge fan of Martin Luther King Jr. I was a huge fan. I still am. I think what Martin Luther King Jr. was trying to do was amazing. And the following he had was amazing. All he spoke was truth. and peace. We march in peace. We don't get violent. You know who got violent with him? Law enforcement. They come in and got violent, similar to what happened in Canada. Those people were peaceful. They did it Martin Luther King Jr. style. They went in there peaceful. Yeah, they honked air horns. They were a little annoying. But who isn't annoying when they're standing up for what they believe in? Martin Luther King Jr., he marched with hundreds of thousands of people. And they chanted and they clapped and they screamed and they cheered, just like the Canadian truckers did to start this worldwide movement in Australia, Belgium, Germany, America, everywhere. And guess who's still sitting in jail? Tomorrow, I had a hearing yesterday for a bail hearing. She's charged with, criminal mischief or something similar to that. She has been held without bail for, I don't know, going on 2 weeks. For what? They're treating her like she's the murderers get better treatment than she does. Pat King, too, just because he was a social media influencer. Oh, yeah, you told those people to do it, and they did it. You know what? I also watch Maxine Waters tell people it's time to get in their face. She ain't in fucking jail. Hell, she's sitting in your legislature. I watched numerous Democrats through many of their speeches while Trump was president to get in their face. It's time that we make their lives uncomfortable. They wanted violence. They promoted violence. And not one of them has ever been charged for inciting violence. But they want to go after other people that are inciting peaceful protests? Are you out of your fucking mind? Not George Orwell, 1984. Does that sound familiar to anybody? The right becomes wrong. Left becomes right. Right becomes left. Everything is fucking backwards. And half the people in this country can't see it. They're so stuck up, enveloped. I'm trying to think of the word. They are entrenched in this matrix of misinformation and propaganda and gaslighting. It's concerning to me. I'm scared for this country right now after the comments I read. Now, I also realize that the comments that I've read on social media, half of them are probably 14-year-old teenagers that have no fucking idea about anything in life. So you kind of got to take it with a grain of salt. But still, the fact that they're in there, you know, putting down people that are in this people's convoy, is very concerning, because that means their parents haven't done a very good job of teaching your children about what it's like to be a patriot. Probably because their parents are liberal teachers that are teaching your children the same bullshit that they're teaching theirs. So that's why you need to stand up and you need to pay attention to your children and what they're being taught in the public school system, because they're being fucking brainwashed just like the rest of these people are by these extreme liberal left nut jobs. And when I say nut jobs, that's an understatement. They all belong in a fucking straitjacket in a Red Roof Inn. Honestly, shouldn't be on the fucking streets. Because we preach peace as we protest, as we exercise our First Amendment rights of peacefully assembly. You know what they do? They get violent towards you because you think differently than they do. Not once did the truckers go into a BLM. Not once did we try to assemble to go into a BLM rally and disrupt what they were doing. A lot of the trucking industry didn't agree with it, and that's their business. You don't have to agree with anybody if you don't want to. That's fine. But not once did the group of truckers that I've been involved with for many, you know, the last 4 or 5 years, or anybody that I heard of, none of them. So, well, we need to go in there and park our truck sideways and stop them from marching. Not once did I hear that from anybody. You know how many times I've heard the left, like, literally find out where my phone number? I don't know how they got that, but they got it. And you know how many threats I've gotten, death threats, You know how many death threats Brian Brazzi has gotten? I don't know how many of the other people have. I haven't talked to them, but because I've been kind of out of the planning for 3 weeks, or no, about a month. But I'm so now I get to be a spectator, somebody that's in the back of the crowd, and I get to report on it as the Disrespected Trucker Radio Show, which is spectacular. Takes a lot of the pressure off of me. But back to the point, do you know how many times people give us death threats? Not only us, we're going to find out who your family is, and we're going to make their lives living hell for the rest of their lives because you're standing up for freedom, because you're flying a flag on your fucking vehicle. That's how fucking crazy these people are. They're nuts. They're insane. They're nuts. I've got an Antifa leader out of Texas. I've blocked him now on TikTok, but he keeps on, wherever he can find me on social media, you need to stop using the People's Convoy. I trademarked that name. Well, listen, motherfucker, I didn't create the name. I never created the name. And I call the People's Convoy what I hear what it's called. So you can go fuck yourself. I don't care if you own the trademark. Go after the people that created the name. It's theirs, not mine. So fuck off. This guy, I've watched some of his videos. He's certifiably insane. Certifiably. He screams at the camera because I'm involved in that. I'm a terrorist. He brags about being a terrorist on his videos. How the fuck the FBI hasn't arrested that guy yet? You know why? Because the FBI is in on all this bullshit. So is the CIA. This is all the Biden administration's weaponizing of American fucking federal agencies. That's okay. I got to take a break, a breath here for a second, a break with my breath. And I'll let Chris weigh in a little bit on. I just went off on a half-hour rant, didn't I, Chris?
Yeah, you did. And we've got a caller that's been holding for 20 minutes to get on.
Bring him on, Chris.
I'm going to let them on, and then we'll get back on this subject. But I'm going to bring on. I don't know if this is Lisa or Lee. It's one of them. I assume probably Lee, but here we go. Lee, you are on the air.
You're wrong. It's not
Oh,
Lee.
No. It was Lisa.
Oh, Chris, what the hell are you doing? You just called the boss Lee? What the?
Oh, man, Jeremy, you're going to have a heart attack. You need to breathe for a few minutes.
you ain't shit.
So you started crying, or we're going to start crying. So I got a few stories, but I just want to know, you kind of glossed over it a little bit. You've watched this on videos, and you said, yeah, I see it. Yeah, I see it. I see what you guys are going through. And I tried to tell you that you cannot get this feeling from any video you've ever seen. Not even a live video can you get what we are experiencing here. So what do you think now?
No, and Lisa, you're absolutely correct. I bet I've watched thousands of TikToks of this, and I've seen all the people. And you see all the people on these TikToks that's a lot of people on that overpass. What you don't understand is that how many overpasses there are in a 250 or 300 mile range. There's hundreds of overpasses. And every single overpass.
It's not just the overpasses. It's the on-ramps.
Yeah,
it's the off-ramps. It's the businesses. It's the Joe Blow's house out in the woods that walk 2 miles to get to the interstate from their house. They climb the fence. They stood out there in 30 degrees to wave at semis going down the road.
Exactly. It's in the middle of nowhere. All of a sudden you'll see a grandma and grandpa and a mom and dad with a couple children stand in the middle of nowhere, like literally nowhere, next to a field with a car there and shivering and their coats and their hats, and the kids are screaming and waving, and the mom and dad and the grandparents are waving. It's the most amazing thing I have ever, ever seen.
And they have a sign that says, thank you, truckers. There's a sign that says, honk for freedom. There's a sign that says, you know, we love truckers. We're with you. You know,
Chris,
I've got a sign
my mic,
in
would
my...
you please?
No, you can cry on the air. It's okay, Jeremy. It's okay to cry on the air. So Lee told the story to Jeremy of why, how he decided and what made him decide to stay, what made Lee decide. And that was the old lady in the wheelchair with the story of the flag, and now she finally has hope again seeing all this. Right, Jeremy? Am I right? You heard that story? Just nod or
yeah,
or something.
I'm going down to have a cigarette here in my hotel, so you'll have to bear
yeah,
with
you're good.
Me if I get
you can,
cut off.
No, you can
okay.
smoke. We all smoke. It's okay. So you know how a big of a deal that story was to my husband. He was bawling by the time he was telling it to you. So we
no,
had
and that's what
today.
I've seen all day. Yeah.
We had some visitors in our truck today, and this is a little before your time. You don't know this person. Miss Arlene, you've heard of her, and you know
yes.
what a gem she is to this trucking industry. And you know that story that Lee told you about that old lady putting her flag up every day and taking it down every night. So the visitors came to our truck tonight was Jennifer Addy and her husband Tony. And Jennifer is Arlene's daughter. And when he did, Jennifer, when Arlene was very sick, Jennifer would accompany her mom to Matt's and stay with her in the hotel because she knew no matter how sick Arlene was, she was going to Matt's. So Jennifer kind of tagged along to make sure her mom was safe. And at Arlene's birthday celebration before she passed in I can't remember the name of the city where we were, but it was in Ohio. We had that birthday party for her. No, the party wasn't in Janesville. Millersburg. And
oh, Millersburg,
at the fairgrounds.
Yeah.
And Jennifer was there, and Jennifer started, you know, to catch on to how engrossed this trucking family is and how Arlene, you know, loved us all and we all loved her. So Jennifer knew that she had to come and see this convoy because we all know that Miss Arlene is so smiling down right now. And to see truckers getting these accolades and the people coming out to cheer for truckers, I mean, I'm not so certain Miss Arlene didn't have her hand in making this happen up there in heaven, to be honest with you. And so Jennifer and Tony came to our truck tonight after we got parked because they live here in Ohio. And Jennifer sat in my front seat, which is exactly where her mother sat at a mat after party when we had 9 people in our truck. And so Jennifer sat right in that seat, and her and I talked and laughed and told stories, you know, about her mom, and she gets it. She understands that by default, she is part of the trucking family because she was Arlene's daughter. And I told Tony, I said, Jennifer's literally my sister because Arlene was everybody's mother. And so
yep.
Jennifer and her husband walked away. Literally 5 minutes ago when we were on the air, Jennifer knocked on our door and looked at Lee and handed him something. And I'm going to cry. So I'm going to do my best here. My husband's
let her
bawling
happen.
Like a baby. She handed my husband a flag, an American flag, with 13 stars on it that Miss Arlene put out in front of her house on her flagpole every morning and took down every night. And she told us to take it to D.C. and fly it proudly. So now
you
remember that story that Lee told you about that old lady with
yeah.
her flag up and down every day. So that old lady has now transferred to us into Miss Arlene, and we're taking her flag to D.C.
You know, there's a lot of stories I haven't told our listeners yet, and I will as soon as we get off you get off this line. But I got to tell you something, Lisa. I have talked to Miss Arlene. I used to talk to her a little bit here and there.
Okay.
At the very beginning, and she was our mother in the trucking industry.
She was the queen of
the trucking industry. Yes.
Yes.
And she guided me through a lot in the beginning. She gave me pointers and advice a lot in the very beginning of when I got involved with trucking advocacy. And the trucking advocacy turned into me toward more, I found that we have power with activism. And not like crazy activism, like let's go burn shit down, but activism of bringing awareness to certain issues.
Yes.
A few months back, let's say six months ago, I went by myself as one truck to a rally at St. Paul at the Capitol and stood with the healthcare workers at the beginning of this fight against the mandates. So as a trucker, we have found that we have more power than what we even realized we had. And I shouldn't say power, but influence. We have a lot of influence because we're big trucks. You get next to us on the interstate, and it's
intimidating.
It's intimidating. Yes, intimidating. And when you see a bunch of big trucks roll into a city, and you see all these guys with, you know, tattoos or cowboy hats or, you know, they got their big American flags or "Don't Tread on Me" flags or their Peterbilts and Kenworths are all shined up, or their Volvos, whatever you drive, doesn't matter. It's a big, big machine. And these guys, these truckers, these men and women out here that truck, because you truck with your husband, Lisa, they travel all over this great country. And these fine folks, Lisa and Lee Schmidt, you can follow them, by the way, on Facebook at Trucking with the Schmidts Across America. Is that
trucking
you want to give yourself a
Trucking Across Trucking Across America with the Schmidts. We're on Facebook and Twitter.
Yes.
I also want to tell you that when we pulled in, you saw the people lined up. They were lined up on both sides of the roads, these people standing there out in the cold, and every person looked at us and said, thank you, thank you, thank you. I mean, I want to say thank you for your support, but then they turned it around, no, thank you. And I had, by the time we got parked, my entire front seat was full of goodie bags. Huh?
Yeah.
That these people have taken the time to, first of all, go shopping. Some of them have found lists out there that things that truckers want, or they make homemade snacks, and then they bag them up, and every single one of them has a handwritten note, whether it be by an adult or a child. I have pictures drawn by children saying, thank you for fighting for my freedom.
And
the news, as you said,
they're lying.
Can you hear the horns?
Yeah, I can hear
the
horns.
The guys are honking.
That's okay.
Headset or outside?
When we went to Pembina, North Dakota here January 28th, before all this began, me and Tony and a few other guys, Will Cook and Paul Massett, we all, just four trucks, that's all that we planned on going from Fargo, North Dakota to Pembina, North Dakota. This is how some of this all started, just so to refresh everybody's memory. We went up there with four trucks. When we got to Fargo, we left Fargo with 20 vehicles. There was roughly 50 people in the parking lot that were cheering us on as support, just kind of like what we're seeing here today, or what I'm seeing here today, what they've seen since California. But by the time we got up to Pembina, North Dakota, 2 miles south of the Canadian border with our Canadian flags and our American flags, we had over 40 vehicles and about roughly 80 to 100 people. And their signs said the same thing. Thank you. We want to see our grandparents. Freedom, mandate freedom, all that stuff. Not even a week after that, we started talks of doing a cross-country freedom convoy the convoy to DC-22, and it turned into the People's Convoy. There's people that have started it and then have dropped off, and other people have carried the torch.
But it spread.
It's
spread.
What's that?
There is current.
Yeah.
It spread. So there was 6 convoys that apparently met up with us in Indy. There's already 1 convoy from the Northeast that is waiting for us in Hagerstown. There's a convoy from Florida heading up to Hagerstown to meet with us. There's another convoy that left Montana. There's one that that left North Dakota that's coming down through Wisconsin. There's 100-and-some trucks waiting in Chicago, Illinois, for the convoy in Wisconsin. They're all coming here.
No, and that's
and
what I was getting at.
The media focuses on the one convoy.
Let me get to that, Lisa, if you don't mind, for 1 second. What I'm saying is where it started at. Okay, so up in Pembina, down to where we're at today. There was people that started the People's Convoy, that it was, you know, the convoy to D.C. 2022. Then it turned to the People's Convoy. By the way, I'm looking out my hotel room window right here. I'm right kind of in the front of the hotel. I'm watching all these cars pulling, every one of them American flags. Like, I'm staying, I feel very safe in this building tonight. Anyway, so as one organizer would drop out or fall out of line or whatever you want to call it, there was another person right behind him to pick that torch up before it hit the ground, and me included. I dropped out about 3 weeks to a month ago, and Brian Brazzi and Mike Landis and numerous other people were there. We were all in conversation. Every one of them were not only more than willing to grab that torch, they wanted that torch. They grabbed that torch. It's like the Olympics. You don't let another man fall. You don't let a movement fail because other people are uncomfortable with certain different things or, you know, things out of your control happen. These people that are involved in this People's Convoy, we've got organizations that are involved that are great organizations, great people. Lee Dundas with the human rights attorney. These people, it's so much more bigger than Jeremy Johnson or Mike Landis or Brian Brazzi or Lee or Lisa Schmidt. This is truly the People's Convoy. Truly the People's Convoy.
And we are so humbled. And right now, since you and I have been on the phone while you just gave your last speech, someone knocked on our door and handed us $50 for gas money, they called it, which is fuel money in our language. And then he went back to rolling his cigarettes that he's doing, and because he couldn't talk to you tonight, he'd be bawling. Another knock on our door, and it was a little girl, and she just handed us a handwritten picture of mountains with flags on them, all American flags. And she said, "Thank you, truckers, for protecting our freedom." Jeremy, this is why we are here. This is why we're here. It's not for you and I even. It's for the future generations. You know, your kids, your grandkids, my grandkids, and great-grandkids when they come. These people don't even understand what this government and world are doing to us because they've been raised in it and indoctrinated in the government education system. But there's patriots out there, churches and parents and families that are teaching their children about this convoy. And 20 years from now, those children that stood out on that interstate are going to be talking to their friends, and they're going to say, "I remember that Freedom Convoy of truckers, and I stood out there with my mom and dad, and I waved at those truckers going down the road." And every single one of these kids is going to grow up having a better respect for truck drivers than our generation does, if you know what I mean.
Oh, yeah. What we see today, I mean, even like Lee, when I was on the phone with Lee today when I left, I stayed in Danville, Illinois last night, about 100 miles roughly from Indianapolis. And I was about 60 or so miles out of Indy trying to catch up to the convoy. And, oh, shit, I'll catch up to them by the time they get on I-70. Well, that was false. But anyway, I was on the phone with Lee, and he's like, oh, there's somebody that thinks we're number one. Like, somebody went by the convoy and actually threw his middle finger out and give everybody a middle finger. Now, imagine a country
today.
That you live in.
That was very rare.
That is very
that
rare.
Was
by
rare,
the way,
though.
that's the only story I've heard of. It doesn't it happens every event that we do, but because people are so self-involved, selfish. But what I'm saying is,
Jeremy.
Okay, so you got one guy that throws his middle finger out. You imagine living in a country where you have the freedom to dislike something, and you give the middle finger, which is your First Amendment right, also freedom of expression, freedom of speech, whatever you want to call it, that you are literally putting down people and trying to insult people that are literally standing up for the very right that you are. What you're doing is giving them the middle finger. You got to be a special kind of fucking stupid.
Those people don't believe they've lost anything. Because I know you're not on Facebook, but if you were, you would see these people saying, well, name one freedom that you've lost. You're just whining because you don't want to get vaccinated or wear a mask. And I'm going to tell you right now, these people are still standing out here by this corner waving their American flag still, right now, still, where you've been parked. They're still out there. I don't know.
They're still out there at the exit where you guys got off?
Yeah. Yeah, they're still out there. I can see them right out my window. They're still walking around in here amongst the trucks.
The closer we got to where you guys got off, the more people I seen out there. And
yeah, it's like that every time.
The last three exits, I'm just like, holy shit. There wasn't, you know, there's some overpasses that we've seen 10, 15 people. Then there were some that we'd see, you know, 50. And then some that we'd see 100, 200. But when the last three or four exits before you guys got off, there were literally thousands of people standing at each exit, up and down the road,
you know, there's a
police.
There's a shortage of truck drivers, right? That's what the media tells you. That's what the ATA tells you. So they're spending money. They're spending money to try to figure out how to get more truckers into the business, more young people. You know, every single one of these kids that drove down a highway and a trucker acknowledged them and waved at them and honked their horn at them, this is the best recruiting tool for the trucking industry that there ever was. If you remember, after 9/11, the people that registered to join the military because they wanted to fight for our country skyrocketed. And you know what? After this convoy, you give it a few years for these little kids to get where they can drive. Guess what they're going to do? They're going to be an American truck driver.
Yeah, we want our royalty checks, by the way, to the United States government, just so you know.
No, but it'll be fun to watch their program flop, and then all of a sudden there will be this unexplained, you know, push of drivers. So, well, I'm going to let you go because I'm done taking up your time. You guys have a great show.
Well, no, thanks for joining us, Lisa and Lee, and I'll talk to you guys tomorrow. And when we get down to Hagerstown, by the way, I'm going to get a hotel nearby, so I don't know where, but you guys, I'll get it for probably three nights. So I will come and pick you guys up, and you guys can come on over and use.
Stuff about Hagerstown. We have showers there to use. There is two warehouses full of donated food and supplies. There is an entire church that is there, and it's their showers. They have showers there for us, and they're going to be cooking all of our meals from this donated food in the warehouse.
I will be there at your disposal if you need to use my vehicle or need a ride if you need me to drive you somewhere. I will do that. You know that.
I appreciate it.
So, all right. I will talk to you guys tomorrow.
All right.
No, exactly.
Bye.
All right, Lisa. Have a good night.
Bye-bye.
All right, everybody. That was Lisa Schmidt. Lisa and Lee are a husband and wife that drive all across this country. I met them through this trucking advocacy thing, and they are fantastic people. And by the way, Chris, I got my iPad back up, my phone. are both actually coincidentally at 5%. So I don't know how long I'm going to last. I'm actually lasting longer than I thought I would. But if any of you are listening right now, you guys can call in the guest call-in number at 516-387-1733. That is 516-387-1733. And I think my headset's going to go dead now. Jeez, I'm batting 0% today. But once you get through, press the number one. Chris is on. He's on the switchboard. I am also right now, but I think I'm going to lose my headset, which means if I lose that, I don't really want to go. I'll try it on speakerphone on my phone, and I'll ask the audience how it sounds. If it sounds like shit, I'm just going to let Chris take over the last hour and talk about things. But 516-387-1733 if you want to join the conversation. And no matter what, if it's not about the People's Convoy, whatever you want to talk about. So, man, I tell you what, my luck with these battery-operated shit is horrible. Well, Chris, what do you think so far about the conversations being had?
Well, I tell you what, I mean, when I watch the videos, I can kind of feel, you know, the magic of that moment, just because I got a taste of that in Richmond, Virginia, in 2020. I was about to say last year, but gosh, it's already been 2 years ago. And if you don't remember what was going on then, that was when Governor Northam in Virginia tried to do a little in-run around the Second Amendment and was trying to pass through the state legislature there all kinds of draconian gun rights. Or gun control laws that pretty much there was one that was so vaguely worded, it made it illegal for any person, organization, or business to provide training that could be used in the, I don't remember how it was worded, but it was written so vague that essentially they could go in and shut down a martial arts academy for teaching people self-defense. I mean, it was ridiculous. You know, it was creating a gun registry and making it illegal, like a felony for any
type
of...
Hey, Chris, are you talking on your headset or are you on your actual phone?
I'm on my actual phone.
It's like somebody is hitting... No, it's like somebody's hitting their buttons on their phone. It's weird.
I don't know. I don't hear it.
Oh, you're not hearing it. Okay. I wonder why I'm hearing it. That's weird. I didn't mean to interrupt you. Continue on. If you're not hearing it, I don't know.
Hopefully the audience isn't hearing it. I haven't gotten any messages popping across my phone saying anything. Usually if my phone's getting funky, somebody will start letting me know. But yeah, so they were trying to basically abolish the Second Amendment. Okay, Brian tells me that they are not hearing the noise out there in internet radio land. Oh, there's Mom. She doesn't hear it either. Hi, Mom. And give her a little shout out.
Hi, Mom.
I told her a couple of weeks ago, she wanted me to pass on.
Thank you. I'm sorry for my language.
Well, you know, she's got a biker trucker for a son, so she's definitely heard it. But but she wanted me to pass on, you know, that her and her church was praying for all the truckers in this convoy. And I forgot to pass that on. So there we go, Mom. 2 weeks late. Sorry, but I got it out there. But going back to Virginia, you know, we had this basically huge movement where just gun rights people from around the country said no, we're not, because what everybody was afraid of was if Virginia got away with that, then all the other blue states would replicate what they were doing and essentially just obliterate, you know, gun rights. And so despite media reports trying to scale it down. There was actually, I would say, over 50,000 people that showed up in Richmond and marched on the state capitol there for a pro-Second Amendment rally. And they did the same stunts there that they try to do with the convoy. The media kept representing it as a bunch of white supremacists are converging on the capital of Virginia. And that was the first time they really started doing that mess. And we were all like, what are they talking about? You know, but it was great. And there was a group of us within the advocacy, the trucking advocacy groups that got together, and we convoyed our trucks into Richmond. And we didn't really have a good place to park the trucks. So what we did was we actually just circled the Capitol, and that entire section of town over there was just it was like Mardi Gras. I mean, it was just shoulder to shoulder. The sidewalks were full, you know, everybody waving flags and holding up signs and everything else. I got to meet black white supremacists, and I got to meet, like Muslim white supremacists. It was you know, quite a convention of white supremacy. I didn't realize that white supremacy had gotten so diverse over the years. But, we went down there, and it was that same feeling. When we drove around that Capitol, through the streets there of Richmond, which was just, again, just lined with people. And, I mean, they're all giving us the thumbs up and cheering and waving their flags at us as we went by and everything. So I know that feeling of getting that type of good patriotic reception from people when you're all coming together on an issue that involves individual freedoms like that. And so whenever I see these videos, you know, on Facebook or TikTok of the convoy and all the overpasses and the people cheering and everything, you know, it brings back that feeling of driving through Richmond for that rally there. But it was the same thing. I mean, that was the first time we really saw the military style fencing, because they did the same thing in the Richmond Capitol. They put up a fence, a big tall fence, all the way around the Capitol building. And then they had a area where they would funnel anyone who actually wanted to go into the Capitol building. Had to go through this literally military style looking processing area with a tunnel, a fence tunnel is the only way I can describe it. I mean, we were all talking about how it's like, man, they made this Capitol look like, you know, the entrance to a Nazi death camp. You know, it was there. It was in your face. Man, the night before we took the trucks in, we had a couple people with cars, you know, we all bunched up together in the cars, and we kind of went down and we drove around Richmond just to kind of scout out to see, okay, you know, what streets are we going to be okay to drive the trucks on, you know, because we didn't want to get down there and get ourselves into a jam with all the chaos that was going on. So we went, we kind of did a little reconnaissance of the area, and it was just so insane. I mean, every other car was like some sort of unmarked federal car. You know, they hooked up onto us almost immediately, where we're up behind us running our plates and everything. And I mean, it was like a real true surveillance state, you know, just really out there, and not something that you normally see in America. And I just remember having the feeling like, wow, like this is just, it was like a police state / military state kind of feel. You know, helicopters flying over the area constantly. You know, it did not feel like America. It felt like some other place in the world that you see on the news, you know, that makes you stop and say, man, you know, I'm glad we don't have that kind of stuff here. And then we had it there, and that kind of, I don't know, maybe foretold of the future, because of course, right after that, just a few weeks after that, we declared a national COVID emergency, went into lockdowns, and then every time there was a peaceful protest at a state capitol, over the COVID restrictions, of course. You know, you saw a massive police presence. You saw fencing getting put up, you know, and of course that would carry through to, you know, the most popular president in the history. Maybe not just the history of America. I would even say the most popular president in the history of the world and even the entire damn universe. And that's why they have to, you know, put 25,000 National Guardsmen around the Capitol, you know, when he goes into office, because he's just that damn popular. So, but, you know, it reminded you of that. And you look at that now and you're like, man, you know, like these events leading up to this, and now it's just the new normal. We've just come to understand that if there's any sort of peaceful protest, you know, you're going to be labeled as a domestic terrorist, a white supremacist, and they're going to have military and federal agents, and they're going to put fences up and sandbags and snipers on rooftops. And it's just an understood thing now, which is really sad, you know.
Chris,
and so I'm glad.
I don't mean to interrupt you here, but I got to interrupt you because my phone is rapidly losing charge now again, and I'm going to lose this call at any second, which means I cannot perform the rest of this radio show, unfortunately. I'll be able to do switchboard, but I can't do the switchboard without my phone, basically, obviously. So I want to tell everybody thank you for all of your support. Keep on following the Disrespected Trucker Radio Show every Thursday night from 7 to 9 p.m. Central. On Unplugged Radio, and thank you to Unplugged Radio for giving this platform to us. Chris is going to have to finish out the rest of this show, and I apologize, ladies and gentlemen. I've been using my phone to live stream all day for my YouTube, The Disrespected Trucker, not The Disrespected Trucker Radio Show, but The Disrespected Trucker. That's all it's called, but it's still me, it's still us. Well, it's me. It's not really Chris on there because he doesn't have access to my YouTube, but it's the same concept. But yeah, my phone it's going to die. My iPad, however, is gaining. So, I mean, I don't know. I'm at 7% on that one. I'm just down to 2% on my phone. But I just want you guys to know that I will do more live streaming tomorrow. Hopefully my phone charges during the night enough where I have a turbocharger in my Escalade that I'm driving, and I'll use that to fast charge my phone tomorrow. But that's the beeping I'm hearing in my ear, Chris. It's my phone.
Got it.
Like dying. It's like beep 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 beep. Yeah, okay. So I'm gonna lose the whole thing here shortly, and rather than try to stay on until I do lose it, I'm gonna pass the torch off to Chris and let Chris finish the show out. You're in good hands, ladies and gentlemen. And I will talk to you next Thursday night, I hope. Otherwise, you can follow my live streams on The Disrespected Trucker on YouTube. So thank you guys again, my listeners and everybody else, not mine, our listeners. Sorry, Chris. I thought it was just me for a second. I happen to do that sometimes, but I get caught up in a moment. A lot on my mind, a lot on my plate, a lot of things going on. It's just, trust me when I tell you the media is lying to you, because this thing is the biggest thing that this country's seen in a very long, long time. If you want the truth, follow the Disrespected Trucker Radio Show. Follow the Disrespected Trucker. Follow Mr. America Trucker on TikTok. I promise you, you'll get the truth with me. I don't lie. I don't need a lie. I have no reason to lie. I don't, even this trip, I'm funding it myself. Like Lisa said, well, somebody handed me a $50 bill. I don't get no money. And if somebody did offer me money, I wouldn't accept it because I have never taken money for anything that I've done, anything. And this trip is going to cost me probably at least a couple grand, at least, that I don't have. But I'm not bitching about it. I'm not complaining about it. I'm not saying that so you'd, well, just let us help. I'm not, no. I'm just saying, I do everything when I don't involve money, when I don't ask for money, it verifies that I'm doing it for the right reason to the naysayers. You know what I'm saying? But the moment I take a $20 bill or $100 bill, oh, see, he's doing it for money, it gives him ammunition. I don't give people ammunition. I just do it by myself. I do it on my own accord. And then guess what? Nobody can say a fucking word about it. Well, he was in it for money. Well, he never took any money. That's what they say. They have no comeback when they tell you that I offered him $50, but he wouldn't take it. I mean, trust me, I would love to have somebody say, you know what, I support what you're doing and pay for my hotel room or for my gas. That would be fantastic. It'd take a lot of pressure off of me, but you know what? I'll get over it. God will fix it. God provides when you need God to provide. So you just have faith and you keep doing the right thing and do it for the right reasons. And you never have to worry about those false accusations on you. But okay, now I'm down to 1%. Okay, I'm gonna my phone's gonna drop. Chris, thank you, my brother. Take over the rest of the show, and at the end of the show, just at the top of your control board, hit end episode. And I'll talk to you guys all Thursday night, next Thursday at 7 p.m. Central. Okay, have a great night, and God bless each and every one of you. Chris, it's all you, brother.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, let's give it up there for Jeremy. Sucker. All right. And on that note, I guess it's time for me to step up and take control of the mic. That's kind of a scary thing, especially to those that really know me well. You should just never give me a microphone and let me run with it. But I tell you what I think I'm going to do is I think here in just a little bit, I am going to bring along one of our regular callers, Brian. And I know he's on standby here. And so when he heard what was going on, he graciously offered to step in and help out. So I think I'm going to bring Brian in and get him into the mix here. And, you know, as always, we appreciate our callers on this show. And I wasn't expecting to be put in this position tonight. And so rather than me just trying to ramble on about anything that pops into my head, which that could take us to some scary places. You know, if you got something you want to just bring up or you want to call in and talk about something, the call-in line is 516-387-1733. Give it a ring. And once you get past the Blog Talk Radio sound, and you can actually hear the show, just hit the number 1 on your dial pad, and that will give me a signal to let me know that you want to come on the air and that you have something to talk about. And now that we got that out of the way, we do have a chat feature. If you are tuned into our show over the internet, if you got us up on your laptop or whatever device you got us on, there on our page, we do have a chat applet. You can come in and you can actually chat here. I don't know how responsive I'll be tonight. Normally, I do a lot of the messaging with people while Jeremy talks, but that's not really an option tonight. So without further ado, I really hope Brian is ready because I'm about to turn his microphone on. Let's see here, see if he's ready. Brian, are you there?
I'm right here. Now I'm not quite so sure that my bravado is well placed. I'm not terribly convinced I can really follow Jeremy very well there. There it is, though.
Where were you talking about, though?
I'm on my way out from Baltimore headed towards the house. I'll actually pass the convoy tomorrow, or rather we'll pass each other.
Right.
So I'm kind of looking forward to that, seeing how that lines up. And I don't know how to do all that fancy stuff with the phones and streaming and pictures and whatnot. I mean, I'm one of those weird people that still uses an actual camera to take pictures. So I don't know. I'm going to see what I can do with that. But
Where do you get film for that camera?
Actually, that's about the only thing that I kind of sort of advanced. I'm not quite in the 1980s in that. I've got a digital camera.
The digital SLR.
Do what now?
The digital SLR.
Yes, that's right. I got the digital SLR, the DSLR.
There we go.
But you were talking about some things that kind of triggered a thought. I had a conversation with a friend earlier today. We were talking about the draft, and I promise this is actually going somewhere, and it does actually relate to the convoy as well. And my argument for him, now keep in mind I have a pretty eclectic education, and don't worry, I'll rabbit just as bad as anybody else in a lot of those things, but I'm against the draft for the same reason that convoy may have some hope and may be successful. The draft implies that we are owned by the government. And if you look at the last 2 years, and if you look really at the last 70, 80, 90 years of our history, that has been the mentality of pretty much everybody, that the government owns us tacitly. The problem is, the government doesn't own me. I own the government. Now, our founding document states, we the people in order to form a more perfect union, not we the government in order to form a more perfect people. So that's kind of an important designation. I mean, you got to keep this in mind. And as we're moving forward, I don't know how successful the convoy is going to be. I hope it's going to be successful, and I hope it's going to inspire other people to start making changes. But we got to keep that in mind. The government works for us. We don't work for them. So.
Well, that is true, and we've gotten away from that mindset, unfortunately.
Well, yeah. And I
you know,
think
people
it's
have
a little
forgotten
bit different
over the years.
Yeah, and I think it's a
the
little
government
different
kind
in the
of
trucking community.
What's that?
I was going to say, I think it's a little different in the trucking community for a large degree because, I mean, for crying out loud, now, you've ran this route before. You know kind of more or less where I am. I'm still in Maryland, but I'm sitting in a dark truck stop. Lights are all turned off. There is literally nobody around for dozens of miles. It's one of those little mom-and-pop shops that closes down when the sun goes down, basically. I'm pretty much relying on myself to do this. Yep. Got in just in time to get some food. You know, we find ourselves in odd places in the middle of nowhere in a blizzard and have to figure out stuff. And so the mentality of self-reliance isn't entirely lost in the trucking community, or at least not all of them. And so, yeah, naturally, we're going to be the first ones that start bickering and actually try to make change. I just hope it doesn't end there with just the trucking community.
Okay, so you bring up a point, like there's a certain degree of rugged individualism within the trucking industry. Because, yeah, just like you said, you know, we got to rely on ourselves. You know, we frequently find ourselves in, I mean, just the craziest places out in the middle of nowhere, you know, especially when you're out west crossing the deserts. God forbid you end up having to go to like a copper mine in Arizona. And you're out there on roads that, you know, just, I mean, there's just nothing. You know, I once found myself up in Oregon on a road. They called it the Oregon Outback is what they referred to that area as. And it's along Burns Lakeview Highway, which is a really original name because it's a highway and it connects Burns to Lakeview. So they call it the Burns Lakeview Highway. And you think, okay, oh, it's just a little road connecting two towns. Well, those two towns are 140 miles apart, and there is nothing in between those two towns. And when I say nothing, I mean literally nothing. You've got for about 120 miles as you enter the range area, it's actually an open cattle range. So you may actually run across, you know, a herd of cattle on the highway, which I did. And the area looks like Mars. It's basically desert sand and red rock on the hills. And beyond that, when I say there's nothing, I mean there's no streetlights, there's no houses, there are no businesses, not just not gas stations. I mean, there are no businesses, no structures, no buildings, no billboards, literally nothing for 120 miles. And I drove that stretch of 120 miles. By the way, all that my phone said was no signal. It wasn't like it was down to one bar or that the signal was spotty. Literally for that 2 hours that I was driving that 120 miles, my phone just said no signal. So you had no signal service of any kind. Not only that, but in that entire 2 hours that I was driving down that highway, I not only did I not pass another car in either direction, I never saw another human being. You know, so when you're out there and you know, imagine being on that highway when it's, you know, wind chills of 40 below zero up there. Yeah, you find yourself in some spots where you got to rely on yourself. You better make sure before you go through a stretch like that, that you've got, you know, the proper amount of number one and the right anti-gel. And you better make sure that you're in good mechanical working condition, because your truck goes down out there, who knows how long it'll be before anybody even comes across you to try to offer help. So, yeah, you do have that rugged individualism. And you know, that's just one example of many different scenarios we find ourselves in around the nation as truck drivers. But there's also a tendency to confuse the rugged individualism with the idea that we're not owned by the government, because I'll tell you, a lot of people in this industry, an alarming number of people in this industry, have just kind of accepted and stipulated to the fact that the government acts as though they are our masters, our rulers, and that they have the ability to tell us what we can do, how we can do it, when we can do it, where we can do it, and don't even have the will or even the thought to push back against any of it. And a lot of people said I was crazy, you know, when I first kind of started getting into the trucker rights thing back in like 2017 is when I got active, when I realized that the ELDs were about to be mandated, because, you know, prior to that, it was pretty much a choice that you could do electronic logs. And of course, that's how electronic logs came into being, is that they were an option. Oh, look at this cool thing. You can have this electronic, you know, log book that automatically keeps up with your driving, and it automatically records how many miles you drove in each state so that you can properly report, you know, for your IFTA fuel tax reporting. You know, it does all this stuff for you, and isn't it great? You know, and you don't have to sit there with your paper log book and your little ruler to make the straight lines and the hash marks and all that stuff. And it went from being an option to, you know, I think everybody should be using these things, to flat out, we're not giving you an option. And basically the way I describe it, these things are basically like an ankle bracelet, you know, like you would give someone that's on probation or parole, that it's always recording your location. It's reporting that location to a server. It can be tracked, not just by OmniTrax or whatever service that you're connected to, but law enforcement, if they need to, they want to know where you are and they know you're an over-the-road truck driver, one phone call to OmniTrax, and they say, hey, we need to know where this guy is. And, you know, here's the truck information we got, and, you know, it just might take a little time. They'll figure out all the info so that they can pull you up and track you in real time for law enforcement, you know, should you be wanted for something like saying, let's go Brandon, for example, which I think we're getting to. And when got into this in 2017, and then in 2018, when it actually went through and became mandatory, I told people then, I said, listen, I said, if the government has the power and exercises the power to tell 3.5 million people in one industry that they have to have electronic monitoring on them, I said, trust me, it's just a matter of time before they find a reason to start tracking everybody. And, of course, I was told I was wearing a tinfoil hat, you know, the usual thing. I hear that a lot. But lo and behold, 2 years later, there's a COVID national emergency, and overnight, without anyone's knowledge, all the phone carriers out there instituted this COVID tracker, this COVID exposure tracker. They put it on your phone and didn't even tell you about it. There's still people that don't realize that it got loaded onto their phone. And basically, in order to not be tracked by that, you have to go in and you have to turn it off. And you have to know how to find that thing in settings to turn that off. But, of course, the question becomes, if you turn it off, are you really turning it off? I, for one, don't think so. I think it may put you into an inactive file or something like that, that they would have to maybe jump through an extra hoop to see those records if they wanted to. But I don't think it ever really turns it off. So, sure, here we are, everybody now, in some form by the government, is being tracked. Of course, all the phone carriers and everybody else, they work hand in hand with the government and will give away any information that they've compiled on you with their electronic devices. And that's kind of where we are now, that this, even in this industry, we've just accepted that we got this ankle bracelet forced on us. And there was no fighting instinct then when that happened. And a lot of guys are just like, well, you know, it's a heavily regulated industry, you know, and it bothers me that so many people are going along with it. But, you know, one right at a time, they jumped in here, away at our rights over time until it just, you know, eventually, you know, the whole house of cards is coming down to the lockdowns of 2020, you know, where they started saying, literally, you have to close that church. We're going to keep the casinos open, but you can't have that church open. And people went along with that, you know. So rugged individualism in the industry, yes. Not necessarily, though, that mentality that we are the rulers of the government and not the other way around. And, I mean, say that to any government employee, they'll laugh at you. It's just funny to them. They definitely don't have that mentality, yeah, that they work for you. What's your experience, yeah, and there, Brian?
No, I think you're exactly right on that. Now, we've talked. I mean, you know, I'm a kind of a weird person. I've got my wife calls me a history nerd, whatever the hell that means. But, you know, I've got all that information from history, you know, kind of poking around in my head, you know, little things jump out here and there at me. But, you know, I can't think of a single time in history when a government has ever accumulated for themselves power and authority in any manner whatsoever, be it emergency, be it they just basically said, suck it up, we're doing this, and you're just going to go along with it. I can't imagine or remember reading about a single time in history that happened, and then the government willingly gave that authority back. Every time government seems to do that, they don't relinquish it unless they're forced to. And, you know, I think it's very interesting and very convenient. You know, the convoy started out basically as a protest against the COVID garbage, and before they got to Arizona, a lot of stuff started getting lifted all of a sudden. That just seemed kind of very interesting time-wise. So it seems to me that they were trying to discredit the convoy any way, shape, form, or fashion they could, up to and including getting rid of their measures, so that by the time they got to D.C., what are you complaining about? Like, well, you know, it started way back here. But yeah, I think what we need to do is start educating ourselves, as well as if you do have small children, your children, or grandkids. I'm a fairly young guy. even if I was born in the 1900s, as my niece likes to say. But
right.
I've got children at home, and while they may not be old enough to really truly understand what America is and so on and so forth, I teach them the history, you know, age appropriate, mind you, but I teach them the history nonetheless. So by the time that they're going to be in high school, these kids are going to have a better education and understanding of American history than their teachers more like, because we don't teach those things anymore.
No.
And just real quick, I want to remind everybody, I see we have some calls, some callers out there. If you want to go on the air, if you want to come in and make a comment, hit that number one on your dial pad so that I know you want to talk. Otherwise, if I don't see that, I assume that you are just listening over your phone, which a lot of people do. And, okay, yeah, so I do see we have a caller that wants to talk. So, you know what, Brian, I'm going to bring them on with us to see what they got to add to the conversation here. This is last four of your phone number, 7835. I'm going to bring you on the air now.
How y'all doing tonight?
There we go. How we doing?
Pretty good, man. I'm a over-the-road truck driver out in Virginia right now, heading south. But I got a question on the convoys that are so separated out, and I just want to know, why are they going to D.C.? Why do they pick D.C. for their destination?
Well, basically what the idea was, and when this first started getting organized, there wasn't the buildup, you know, on the borders of the U.S.-Canada border, like there came to be when they started doing the blockades. And essentially what people are asking for, at least the People's Convoy, they are looking for the national emergency, the national COVID emergency that was declared by Donald Trump. That is still an active national emergency. And so what's being asked by the convoy, they want an end to all mandates, and they want that national emergency to be closed, to be revoked, for them to lift it and say, okay, this emergency is now over, because a lot of the states are operating some of their mandates that are still in effect. They're kind of pulling that off because there's a national emergency that's still in effect, is the reason they're able to do that. So basically it is to get the message across to the federal regulators. And not only that, but just following the good old-fashioned American value of going to the government for a redress of grievances. And that's what this one's doing. It's an actual peaceful protest, a lawful convoy. You know, they're leaving lanes open. They are not blocking up the roads and intersections. They are not blocking access to businesses, hospitals. They're leaving lanes open for emergency vehicles and regular traffic. They are leaving enough spacing between their vehicles that regular traffic can merge on and off the highway as needed without creating a risk. They are operating at legal speeds. They are holding signs. They are not condoning violence, committing violence. It is literally the definition of a peaceful protest. And the idea, since D.C. is, of course, right over there by the Atlantic Ocean, the idea was to get a convoy that was literally going to run coast to coast. And then it was kind of, I was involved in the original planning. So the idea was, you know, let's get one main convoy going, one big one that's going to go coast to coast and end at the D.C. Capitol. And we figured if it took traction and gained steam,
there were already several other people talking to us from other regions of the country that we knew they would end up putting together their own convoys to originate in other sectors of the country and come down and meet with that main convoy, which is exactly what's happening now. Whether they get there the same day or not is kind of irrelevant and material, but that was the reason for going to D.C., was to make this a nationwide point of unity, to run it coast to coast. And if you're going to run it coast to coast, let's end it by actually going to our national capital for a redress of our grievances. So it was really kind of a good, just constitutionally minded type of activity in the planning. Did that answer your question or no?
Yeah, well, it's the first logical answer that I've gotten. And basically, I'm not against it. And, you know, I'm for it because of freedom. Because, I'm part of the freedom fighters. And the thing is, I went with an original plan, but I didn't expect the U.S. to convoy to repeat the plan in Canada, you know, and other countries. Well, the thing is, they're repeating the same thing. So we were basically at the borders with Canada, you know, with some of them that split off into the borders, as you know, everybody knows, that it didn't go good for them on their side, and it didn't go good in Ottawa. So I don't believe in it's going to go good in D.C. as well, because it's been done over and over into D.C. But the main plan originally was to block the borders, build our own wall that Trump wanted built for security and to win this thing for freedom and in mandates. And that was the goal. They was going to get enough trucks to Ottawa, and they split off into the borders of the northern borders, which was their southern borders, and Alaska on the northern side of Canada on the border. And they did that. Alaska got together. So my understanding is we tried to put it together across the U.S., but, you know, it failed. We didn't have enough. We needed the people to come across the U.S.-Canada borders. And that makes more logical sense, because you got three nations under God going after the same thing. They can't beat three nations at the same time. And that would have made a bigger, solid stand. And the Canadians agreed, and the Alaskans agreed also. And why we're so split up and divided amongst the U.S. when all we had to do was just go straight north across, and we left one lane open at the borders in Michigan. That's the heart of it, was in Michigan, where the industry rolls through 65% of the freight both ways every day. So we slow rolled it as long as we could and held the line up under the bridges for as long as we could and left one lane open for emergency vehicles and freight trucks to come in and out. If we had enough people, we could have beat the thing easily. And I just don't understand. I'm not in the convoys. I'm not, because we freedom fighters pulled back because we didn't have enough people. And that would make logical sense. And I just want to know your opinion on that.
Well, I tell you, when it comes to organizing things, you know, what you can pull off or what you should pull off, they're often not the same. And trying to get any large group of people to commit to something as big as what you're seeing happening now, you really have to break it down. You have to make it simple. you have to kind of narrow it down to one resounding message of what it's about. You have to make it appeal to the masses. And the more specific you get in what it's for, the smaller your audience gets, the smaller your people willing to participate gets. And you have to go with the tide of public opinion and what's actually going to attract the people, because having tried to organize events in the past to try to attract numbers, man, it's harder than you think. It's harder than you think. And so
exactly.
This concept
it
was worth it. And that's the direction it got steered in, because that was what was popular. That is what drew the large crowds in. You know, most people are just not ready and willing to get radical and start placing blockades of, you know, of freight to stop it, knowing that they're going to interfere with some wealthy, powerful corporations, and that they're probably going to wind up serving long prison sentences for it. They're just, most people aren't ready to go there. And that was not the kind of thing that we could do. So we did kind of, you know, mirror it after what Pat King was doing. Just, you know what, be professional, be respectful, be courteous, be peaceful, and don't be violent, don't be in their faces, just be there and stand together. And that sends a huge message, because everybody knows what happened in 2020 with the riots.
Right.
Billions upon billions of dollars in damage, buildings destroyed, people murdered, you know, I mean, just absolute complete chaos and anarchy. And we're trying to be the opposite of that. We're trying to say, hey, you know what? We have something we're trying to get across here. We're trying to get a point across to the government as well. But we're not going to throw Molotov cocktails at cop cars with cops sitting in them. We're not going to flip their cars over. We're not going to shoot at them. We're not going to burn businesses down. We're not going to burn federal buildings down. We're not going to burn anything down. We're just going to come together as Americans, and we're going to stand together, united, in our message, asking for that redress of grievances, and we're going to do it peacefully, the way that it was designed to be done. And by doing that, it created a very large movement. And you're seeing the effects of those decisions today, where you've now got this very large, very politically powerful movement. The media's trying to ignore it. They're trying to play it down, but they can't, because they, you know, it's not like the old days when all information had to go through the big three networks on a television set or on a radio. It's a different world now. We got Twitter, we got Facebook, we got Rumble and Parler and Twitter and TikTok and Snapchat and Instagram, and the word's getting out. They can't conceal how big this is unless you live under a rock, which pretty good percentage of people I'm finding out in this country do. But they can't conceal it. They can't stop this thing. They can't bury it. And that does do political damage. And it's ironic that everybody talks about, well, most mandates have been lifted. Well, isn't it amazing how as soon as Canada took off with their rally and all of a sudden got so big that it couldn't be contained anymore? Because overnight up in Canada, they went from being a small fringe minority with 12 trucks and a few cars to they had to declare the Emergency War Powers Act because the entire city of Ottawa had been taken siege, you know, by these terrorists with bouncy castles. Once they couldn't hide that, and then once it went live on national news here, once the Sean Hannity Show and Fox and Friends started covering the fact that there was another convoy like that being planned here in America, all of a sudden, bam, everybody started talking about, you know what, we're going to end the mask mandate. You know what, we're going to stop the vaccine mandate too. And so you can't tell me that that wasn't a reaction to the pressure that the people, we the people, were putting on the government at that point. And that's why it's been done the way it's done. No one can ever say that the truckers went out and were violent or were acting in some sort of criminal, unlawful manner. Any way you slice it, this is a peaceful protest. It was done the right way. It was done the way it was designed in the Constitution, which is exactly what we're asking the government to do, is to also play by the rules placed on them by the Constitution. I don't know. What do you think, Brian?
I was going to say, something to keep in mind here. There's good – it's reasonable to criticize that we're doing – or they are doing the same thing that's done in Canada, over in Europe, and so on and so forth. But I'd like to point out Martin Luther King. Now, please understand, I'm not trying to equate the two and so on and so forth and such. But civil rights did not happen the first time Martin Luther King gave a speech and went on a march. He did the same thing over and over and over and over and over again. And it was doing the same thing with the same result, at least on their side, the peaceful nonviolence, that finally was the straw that broke the camel's back. And it was too much to where, oddly enough, the Democrats had to step aside and allow civil rights to pass. So, yeah, it's extremely frustrating doing the same thing over and over and over again and seemingly getting no result. But it's the little incremental victories you're getting here and there that'll build up. The other thing to consider here, we're talking about an Emergencies Power Act or a national emergency. We have currently somewhere between like 30 and 40 active national emergencies. And accordingly, did you know that we apparently still have hostages in Iran from 1979? That we are still under a national emergency for hostages in Iran from 1979. This kind of goes back to that notion that once government gains power, they rarely ever give it up. So this is a way to spotlight something and show that, guys, this is pointless. This is garbage. There is no reason that this shit can continue. Will there come a point in time where more radical things need to happen? Maybe. But I don't want to be the one that ever makes that call because, you know, it's hard enough for me to decide when I've had enough and I won't do any more, or I think it's time for me to take action. I would hate to be the one that determines when you should take action. That's kind of, frankly speaking, kind of counterintuitive to the whole notion of individual freedom and individual liberty as well. And I'm not trying to criticize the caller at all. I think he makes a good point, just some things to keep in mind. Doing the same thing over and over and over again when we're having incremental victories in between is helpful, and that's pretty much what we've got right now. So,
right. And what was your name, caller? I didn't catch your name at the beginning.
I use my alias name as Ramblin' Rick, Freedom Fighter. Yes, Ramblin' Rick.
We're good with alias names here. So, outstanding.
Yeah, so,
well,
basically, freedom fighters of the world. So they're in every country. And we stress,
right,
like I said,
fighter nation.
Freedom, yes.
Yeah.
And the thing is, you know, we live in a corrupt world in today's society as of right now. Okay, we stress on, you know, love, peace, and God, you know, and bringing people together. So basically, you know, today's society, people are confused because the governments across not just the United States, but every nation has corrupted the world to where you don't know what's right and what's wrong. What used to be right is wrong, you know, and the wrongs are trying to say that they're right. I mean, come on. I mean, the past, you know, everything in society today is moving fast forward. It's not going backwards. And you have to constantly fight for your rights, your freedom, we the people, you know, and that's in every country. That's not just in the U.S. That's why Canada and the freedom fighters over there, that's why they spoke forward, you know, because countries are getting tired. That's why Brazil, Australia spoke up, because they're tired of living in a corrupted world within their countries. So just like Canada, that was a peaceful protest. They did no wrong. Pat King, they did no wrong. And as soon as, you know, I want this convoy to succeed for our freedom, to get these mandates dropped. I want it to happen. But who's to say they get there and it gets corrupted? Just like what happened over there. Nobody knows. But it could happen very easily from what we know from the last 2 years. When people are out there trying in the streets, because people burning our flags and our buildings, we out there trying to save that and do the right thing, as in peace. But, you know, the government's corrupted as you're the one doing wrong and they're doing right. That is not the world that we want to live in. Nobody. But a lot of people scared to step forward because of how the government has taken control over these years. And they're getting more and more stronger every day if people don't stand forward and against it and make things right again. And, you know, that right there is the key to all of it. And no matter what you're trying to get past or what you're trying to do, simple facts is getting to be a corrupted world.
I agree with that 100%. And I got to tell you there, Ramblin' Rick, I do definitely appreciate the call tonight, you know. And, you know, the fact that so many other nations are doing something similar, you know, we've got the trucker convoys happening kind of all over the world. And I guess it sends kind of a global unifying message of the people against the global governments of the world that seem to be uniting, that we can unite as well. And all we can really do, we have to try all peaceful means, you know, of getting our issues with these governments resolved. And that's what's happening right now. But the more that we step forward, whether it's us or Canada or Germany or Australia, New Zealand, wherever, the more we step forward with a peaceful protest, doing things peacefully and absolutely demonstrating and showing what it is about their actions that we don't like, the more they show their hand and the more, you know, like they did up in Canada, the more they show their hand against the people, the more people become awake what's actually going on with these corrupt governments in the world. And that's kind of the whole point. And Brian, you made an excellent point when you said Martin Luther King Jr. didn't go out there and march down the street one time and get the changes he was looking for. or that the people were looking for. He was like their representative, but people were looking for change. And it took a lot of marches. And some of those marches, you've seen the video clips, I'm sure, if you've ever paid attention to American history. Some of those marches got violent. The clashes with the police became violent. A lot of people were wrongfully arrested. And unfortunately, it takes that. But again, the more people get out there, the more people come together, the more we stand united with each other against the government overreach, against the government corruption, against the loss of liberty, and the more they show their true hand and they show how corrupt they are and how they will quickly use violence to silence any opposition of their agenda, the more it drives people to come together. And that's kind of the point we're at, not just here, but around the world. And I know I'm hoping, and I think everybody else is hoping, that if the people just continue to unite like this, and if we can somehow convince the police and the military not to go along with these tyrannical orders that they're being given. And I think we're starting to see that, you know, when you've gotten uniformed military and uniformed law enforcement standing outside, you know, waving their banners along the roadside, saluting the convoys. I think you realize that we're starting to get them behind us as well over here on the side of the people. But on that note, folks, it's just about that time, and I am actually going to end the night. Brian, do you have any last things to say here before we turn in for the night?
Yeah, just a quick thought here. We're talking about government overreach and so on and so forth, not only in our own nation, but pretty much the world over. Now, keep in mind, I'm not a lawyer, nor do I even play one on TV. However, the only bit of advice I can give to anybody, and mind you, I'm just a stupid trucker. What do I know, after all? You draw a line in the sand that you are not willing to cross, and that line's going to be different for everybody. And whatever may come, you just don't cross that line. It's called nullification. If the government comes to you and says that you have to put a picture of Joe Biden in your living room, and that's a line you're not willing to cross, it doesn't matter. You don't do it. Yeah, there's going to be consequences to some things like that. Now, of course, I'm using a silly example, but until people are willing to stand up and say this far and no further, we're going to be in trouble. And I think we're finally getting to a stage, and I'm very hopeful, but we're getting to a stage where a lot of people have found their line in the sand that they're not willing to cross. With that, you know, let's see what happens. Be hopeful. Pray for everybody if you're a praying person, and that's kind of it.
All right. Well, thank you for that, Brian. And folks, I am going to end the evening here, wrap up the show with just a little bit of encouraging music. And this is Chris Bikerson signing off for the Disrespected Trucker Radio Show, excuse me. And hopefully, God willing, we'll see you all or hear from you all next Thursday at 7 o'clock Central. Till that time, keep it real, America.
Born and raised in South Detroit, he took the midnight.